the Haynes Economic Development Corporation hires an executive director. And students compete in the first LEGO League tournament in Juneau. It's the Cajuness Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more are up next. In September, the newly formed Haynes Economic Development Corporation got $95,000 from the Assembly to get off the ground. Now they've hired an executive director. KHNS's Barrett Wilbur has more.
Margaret Friedenauer is looking forward to starting as HEDC's part-time executive director.
Especially a community our size that struggles with, you know, keeping residents and year-round employment. Being in rural Alaska, there's a lot of challenges for businesses and economic development and economic growth. I think it's important to nurture this idea and I think just show a lot of initiative and a lot of creativity and a lot of dedication to addressing economic development and economic growth.
Friedenauer has lived in Haynes for 7 years. She currently works as the program director at KHNS. She served on the Haynes Assembly between 2015 and 2017 before resigning. Kyle Gray, president of HEDC, says they're lucky to have her.
You know, Margaret's had extensive experience in the community serving or working with a variety of nonprofits, a variety of different community groups, and she's been successful. And she's had feet on the ground enough in Haynes to know the inner workings and be able to navigate those environments in the right way. She was just all around the right fit.
Gray says she'll start working on AHEDC's application for nonprofit status. Friedenauer sees the job as a good opportunity to keep things moving forward in Haynes.
It's going to be about facilitating, helping organize the young organization to get its strategic plan in place and to get some guiding documents in place and to do some baseline economic studies of the community.
HEDC was created 18 months ago when a group of local business owners banded together to tackle community issues like economic research, analysis, and strategic planning.
If you look around to Juneau, Sitka, Skagway, Petersburg, those areas, that was a model that we went with. So instead of the Haynes Borough more or less employing an economic development director, the HEDC takes over those responsibilities.
The corporation received $95,000 earlier this year from the Haynes Borough. Friedenauer was on the assembly at the time and voted in favor of the funding.
I had no intention of ever applying to be executive director of the HEDC when I was voting to fund the organization because I think at the time the executive director position was going to be something a little different.
Friedenauer will continue to work at KHNS after she starts with HEDC in January. In Haynes, I'm Barrett Wilper.
For the first time in years, the Haynes School sent a team of students to compete in a first LEGO League tournament. KHNS spoke to members of the team after the event and has this report.
3, 2, 1, LEGO!
Fourth and fifth graders from the Haynes School traveled to Juneau for the robotics competition. Their task was threefold: to build and program a robot to compete in missions, investigate a solution to a problem, and follow core values as a team. Their team name, the Redneck Robo Hobos of Haynes.
Go Hobos! Go Hobos!
Their skills were put to the test in a high-energy, music-filled atmosphere.
I think they played Final Countdown on the finals.
On the finals, we played Final Countdown.
Yeah, the finals. We also on the very last.
I honestly really enjoyed it because, like, my whole life I've been playing with Legos for a really long, for as long as I remember.
That's Jackson Cowart. I caught up with him and other members of the team during recess on a school day.
I honestly thought it was really fun riding on the ferry because I got to spend time with all my friends and I got to hang out with some of the Skagway team.
Yeah, the Skagway team.
They're really good.
They are good.
Everyone on the team seemed to agree on that. Their neighboring Skagway team is really good. There's a few other things they agreed on. Was it fun?
Yeah, of course!
Was it difficult?
It's hard. It's very hard.
It's really hard.
And for the most part, that they followed the team-building core values. Things like having fun, working as a team, and finding solutions with guidance from coaches and mentors.
Yes.
Team members have different experiences that brought them to Legos. For Bear Scott,
my brother one day, he was playing with Bionicles, and I started to build them, and I just started to hook on to that Lego thing, and then I just got into Legos, and then that really helped me with robotics.
Hayden Jimenez.
My dad is a carpenter, and he's been doing construction most of his life, and he showed me how it all works. Like, he shows me the blueprints of stuff and a bunch of, like, set up designing things, and it helped me, like, learn how to design things.
Alex Wiersinga.
Once I was in Portland, and so our neighbors, they were stuck out of our house, and then we helped them get in. And then one of them, he had this, like, really cool robot, and he showed me how it worked, and it was really advanced and cool, and it was kind of like this.
And Jack Smith III.
My dad is a mechanic, so I had to help him and learn how cars work and everything and how to do stuff.
To name just a few. The theme of the competition was hydrodynamics. Coach Patty Brown says the team looked into solving the problem of a puddle on the school grounds that appears every time it rains.
They were designing a way to solve it, and so the plan is to dig that out and put some rocks under it so it actually has sort of a storage space.
Now that the team is back up and running, Brown says they're looking for more coaches and mentors for coming years. Juneau Police Department officials say they're auditing all sexual assault kits that have been stored and left unprocessed in the last 17 years. KTOO's Matt Miller has this report.
During a recent meeting of a city task force on public safety, city and police officials provided some context for an issue that was highlighted in a recent Juneau Empire article. Juneau was singled out for having one of the biggest so-called backlogs of unprocessed kits. Deputy City Manager Milo Cosgrove says a total of 374 kits have been collected since 2000. Of those, 171 were sent to the State Crime Laboratory in Anchorage for processing. The other 203 were not processed for a variety of reasons, and Cosgrove says that included the district attorney's office deciding not to prosecute a case. Perhaps the victim or suspect died, or maybe both people knew each other and both said that there was sexual activity.
And the issue is not whether or not activity occurred, but whether or not that activity is consensual or not.
Deputy Chief Dave Campbell says he's about a third of the way through an audit of the 203 unprocessed kits tied to a total of 172 cases. In some instances, kits were collected from the victim and a suspect in a single case.
I don't want to sound callous because even one kit that is not processed where it should be is a travesty. But when you break down the numbers are a lot lower than they would appear if you just said 206 or 203.
Campbell told task force members that over 100 of those cases were actually referred to the district attorney's office, but in some instances, the kit may have been unnecessary for prosecution. In addition, there were unprocessed kits for 32 cases, but in those cases, allegations were determined to be unfounded. Unprocessed kits for just over 50 cases were labeled as inactive for various other reasons, such as the death of the victim or suspect.
All the ones so far that I've looked at, I understand why the decision was made to make it an inactive case. I haven't found any yet during the audit that are like, wow, this should have been sent off and it hasn't been.
Still, Sarah Lynn Tabachnik, executive director of AWARE, is concerned about the impact on victims from those 203 unprocessed kits.
So there's an expectation that going through a rape kit, which can be a traumatic experience, there's an expectation that something's going to come from that, that the rape kit will be processed, right? And so that it's not, I think, is problematic.
Campbell told task force members that he'd prefer all of the unprocessed kits still be sent on to the state crime lab for analysis. Tabachnik agrees.
You know, that validates the victim, that helps identify serial rapists, and that moves us closer to justice.
In June, Governor Bill Walker signed Senate Bill 55 into law requiring an audit of untested sexual assault kits. As of November, Campbell says the state crime lab asked them to send all new kits to them for analysis or storage. The lab will ask later for the so-called backlog of the 203 unprocessed kits. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Matt Miller.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us tonight. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.